All right. We got a nice little crowd here this morning. I'm just going to bet you we might have a visitor or two out there. So, if you're a visitor this morning to Lake Country Bible Church, we welcome you. We are just tickled to death to have you. And if you'd be so kind as look in the pouch and the chair in front of you, there should be a envelope with a form and a pen, and you could fill out that form and put it in the basket on the way out this morning to the right-hand side of the door. Let us know a little bit about yourselves. Maybe we can get in touch with each other and make sure you know you're welcome here, answer any questions you might have, and make sure you're welcome to come back. We want you back. So we love you. We praise you. We love and praise God. Amen.
Good morning. He is risen. Thank you. I have a few announcements to make this morning. I'm going to start at the bottom because that's the one that has changed. This is the day where we announce the men's prayer group, which meets on Fridays, first Friday of every month at the Red Dome in Quitman. Men gather there for prayer and sharing and a quick breakfast. Everybody's invited. Bring a friend, of course. We also have prayer meetings on Sunday mornings in this back room here to my right, the conference room. Women's Bible study takes place there as well. The prayer meeting is every Sunday at 9 o'clock. The women's Bible study is at 6:30 on Tuesday night. And then, of course, in this auditorium sanctuary, we have the Wednesday night service. I'm presently teaching that at the present time. We take prayer requests, and then we have a Bible lesson. And will you please join me in prayer? Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we gather this morning in joyful worship of you. For you are the author and finisher of our faith. This morning we are blessed, so blessed, as the apostles wrote the message which was spoken by the angel from the empty tomb and given to Mary Magdalene. Do not be afraid. He is not here. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Lord, well, we should now recall these events that you prepared, an awesome demonstration of your power beyond all expectation. For you have set the cornerstone of your plan and purpose for the ages. Evermore we see your grace, even so bestowed, appearing unto Peter, thus building the faith of all men since, men who stumble in denial and stumble in fear. What a blessing that example is for us, Lord. Lord, we also praise you for your love, a love so divine and, Lord, just so complete. And, Lord, we eagerly look to that day when we too will see you risen and in all your glory, obedient unto the Father, victorious, and given all authority in heaven and on earth. Lord, ever may our joy be full and grounded according to the Scriptures, revealed to the apostles and others before you ascended to the Father. What a blessing that was for them. And what blessing and joy followed, and it must have followed to overflowing. Oh, that we could have been there. Lord, we too now pray that we should heed your Spirit's call as those people did back then, ready to, in season and out of season, share the joy of our salvation according to the Scriptures. And that repentance and the remissions of sins be preached, as you told us, unto all nations, as it began in Jerusalem by those witnesses to those glorious events. Lord, we just pray that you bless this time this morning for each and every person gathered here in your name. We share a spirit by our faith with each other. We are brothers and sisters whom you love. We are your friends, and you have described us that way so many times. Lord, we just pray your blessing on the rest of this service. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe this morning we are in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, so to you, believe it.
Brad, you can do that whenever you want to again. Makes my eyes sweat. I don't know if I am or not. Testing, 1, 2. Testing. Testing. I hear somebody say, we'll just leave it off, Mike. You can hear us in the back? Good. Okay. Resurrection Day. Good to see everybody. Such an encouragement. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart to see you here this morning. I would like to make an announcement. Every Sunday morning, we have at 10:30 church service. So there's somebody at the back door that needs in. Can you help? Better hurry. I think they're walking away. But anyway, We sure are glad to see you. You're making our day special. I was reading today through some, or this week, through some church bulletins. And this one is, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. The peacemakers meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. And don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. This last one, Miss Charlene Mason sang, "I Will Not Pass This Way Again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. Better get on with business. It's good to see you, though, and it does make a difference when you're here. The Lord is good today, folks, and we ought to rejoice in that. And those two young men that have since gone to the playroom, we ought to rejoice that they're here this morning. And gave little Levi a hug this morning. Did me more good than it did him. But he's always very, very careful to give me a hug when he's here. And the other one is Jacob. And I know him quite well. In fact, he was over at my house last night and had a good time. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Boy, we sure thank you, Father, that we know you as our personal Savior and heaven as our home. Father, we thank you for Christ, who gave himself the perfect payment for sin. You were satisfied. Father, you were glorified. Thank you, Father, for his work on the cross for each one of us. Father, we pray that we might be reminded of our responsibility as your children to share the gospel with those around us. Father, may we not be ashamed of who we are in Christ or ashamed of who Christ is in our life. Father, we pray that our witness to those around us might be beneficial, not only to those who know Christ as their personal Savior as an encouragement to them to do the same, but also, Father, for the lost, to trust you and what you've done for them to get them to heaven. We know, Father, that each one who trusts you as their Savior is no surprise to you, because you know. But, Father, we thank you that we who know you as our personal Savior and share the gospel with others, we benefit. We're the benefit, Father, of our obedience to you. Father, we thank you that we have those opportunities that you bring our way. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. I'm so glad this morning that we can get together and be assured that our Savior, Christ, has resurrected. He is alive today. He's not in that old tomb. He's not in that place of faraway land that we don't understand this side of heaven. The grave. He's not there. He's in heaven. He's even today making intercession for you and I who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Scripture is loaded with examples of Christ and his resurrection. And the information that is there is of great value to me and to you, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Even in the Old Testament, there were hints, if you would, or glimpses as to a type of resurrection. There are many types in resurrection mentioned in the Word of God. We find that Joseph was counted dead, but he brought his father and brothers to live in Egypt with him after his brothers sold him into slavery. And Joseph, through God's blessing, became a great leader in the land of Egypt. And he sent for his father and for his brethren. And his father was surprised that Joseph was still alive because his brothers had gone to him shortly after selling Joseph into slavery. They told him that Joseph was killed by a wild animal and even had his cloak that he wore, that cloak that his father recognized, stained with blood of an animal to reinforce their lie to the father. And yet his father saw him again, a type of resurrection, if you would. Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, and the fish deposited Jonah upon land. That is a type of resurrection spoken of in the Old Testament, pointing towards Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. We read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 44, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's our Christ, if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's our hope, that's our assurance this morning, that Jesus Christ rose again. We find that Daniel was placed into the lion's den, was supposed to be killed, and yet in the morning we read in Daniel 6:23, then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Belief, trust, resurrection. Throughout the whole scriptures, from the Old Testament, beginning of the whole Old Testament, in Genesis, to the end of the New Testament, in Revelation. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Resurrection. It's a fact that we find in the Word of God. Israel died in the wilderness because of their unbelief, their failure to enter the promised land that God promised to them. They did not believe God. They did not respond to His leading and His direction. God caused them to wander in the wilderness until all of those who were alive and above a certain age had passed away. God raised up a new Israel, if you would, those who trusted and followed God's commandment. And we find then that they were ushered in to the promised land. We find in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's our promise as God's children. Those loved ones that we have stood by their graveside and mourned, we have the assurance that we shall see them one day if they have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. One day we shall see them. We shall be alive, just as alive as they are today. In Israel, we find, because of their unbelief, they wandered. They suffered the result of their disobedience. We find in Psalms chapter 16, verse 9, therefore, the psalmist said, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. That hope is assurance. It's not a hope-so hope. It's assurance. The psalmist writes in chapter 16 of Psalms, verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Corruption, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, the dead shall live together, with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. There's a resurrection that's promised. Resurrection for those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, followed by all of eternity of goodness and pleasure and grace and peace, abiding with Jesus Christ, our Savior, forever and ever, we find that the dead will also have a resurrection, but it will not be a pleasant existence that they experience following their resurrection. They shall be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever, and in torment they shall exist for all of eternity. Resurrection is a fact revealed in the Scriptures. It's revealed not only in the Old Testament, it's revealed in the New Testament. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, and he says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." What a future to look forward to. Not only do we know Christ as our personal Savior, but we will dwell in His presence forever and ever. Paul writes in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming." Acts 24:15, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust." We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior this morning can look to a resurrection of peace, a resurrection where all shall be bliss in the presence of Christ who gave Himself for us. We do not serve a dead Savior, but we serve this morning a risen Savior, one who loves us with a perfect love that I'm convinced we shall not understand until we see Him face to face. What a love that would cause Him to go to the cross and bear our sins, that He might give us eternal life upon our faith in what He's done for us. We find Acts chapter 24, verse 15, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." We find in the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death through the gospel." He has given us eternal life. He's abolished death. He's brought life and immortality to us who know Him as our personal Savior. He's given us the light by which we live today if we just follow Him. Christ did not come just to save my soul, but friends, this morning, He came to save all of me, my soul, my spirit, and my body. And that shall be your future if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm so glad this morning to be able to tell you that all of me is to be saved. God will not leave my body in the grave. God will not leave my soul and my spirit behind. All of me shall dwell in His presence. He will give us a resurrected body, a body that we can't understand, I'm convinced. It will be a perfect body. It will not have the aches and the pains, not have all of the anxieties and the worries, will not have all of the temptations. God will give us a resurrected body, a perfect body, a body that only He can give. Death is never set forth in the Word of God as the hope or the end of the believer. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, I'll say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. Yea, and we found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. We are without hope if Christ did not fulfill his promise to raise himself from the dead. His Father, God Almighty, removed the tomb of the stone before the tomb's door, and Christ arose that first resurrection Sunday. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. I'm thankful today that I serve a risen Savior. A perfect sacrifice has been paid. Illustrious future that we can't understand. We can't comprehend all that God has in store for us. One day, we will see him, either through death or through the through the rapture of the church. Those who know Christ, bodies who lay in the grave, they're not there. Their soul and spirit are already with the Lord, but their body will be raised from the dead and given new life and made perfect. That's our future. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Believers benefit from the resurrection of Christ. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We should realize that the resurrection, we will see him as he is. We shall be as he is. God does everything perfectly and in order. We find in the Word of God, as we look at the resurrection, we find that no sin for us to pay for. As I look back over my life and I see the things that I would categorize as unpleasing, disobedient, those things that would be labeled by sin, the word sin, there's no sin for me to pay for those things. Christ paid it all. Romans 4, verse 25, he who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We find also, for the believer, sin no longer has power over the believer. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Eternal life, because of Christ's resurrection, is guaranteed and assured. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We find also that because of Christ's resurrection, we have fellowship with Christ himself. We read in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, verse 9 of chapter 1, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The resurrection of Christ. What does it mean to you and to me this morning? Is it a personal thing? Is it something that we can say that we have done in order that we might have eternal life as a free gift? Have we believed in him? Have we trusted in his death on the cross? That's the question that I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me. Only we can answer those questions ourselves. And this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't know where you're going when you die, that gift of eternal life is offered to you this morning by none other than God himself. For God so loved the world, we read, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all that's necessary belief in him and what he's done for you to get you to heaven. You're given eternal life as a gift. Many other verses, over 300 verses in the New Testament, talk about salvation being a gift by grace through faith. Over 300. As we think about that, we also studied this morning 1 Timothy. We find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read where Paul tells Timothy, God is not willing that any should die, but that all should come to a change of mind. God's not willing that any should die. The payment's been made, paid in full, for every sin that's ever been committed. In all the times that there has been time, Christ paid for that sin on the cross. And this morning, he offers to each one of us, if we've never trusted him, he offers to each one of us the gift of eternal life. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much that we can come this morning and realize that Christ rose from the dead. That, Father, that our future is secure in your hands. And, Father, you have the very best in mind for those who know you as their personal Savior. And, Father, it almost makes us want to shout because of your goodness. But, Father, we come and we do pray and we realize in a group of this size, there's someone, quite possibly, who has never trusted you and what you've done for him to get him to heaven. And according to Paul and 1 Timothy 2, you're not willing that any should perish. So, Father, we come to you this morning and we ask that you would minister to those who are not sure, that they might trust you this morning and walk out of this church service praising you for what you've done for them and for the resurrection that we rejoice in as believers. Father, we'll give you the honor and praise. With heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, you never trusted Jesus Christ and what he's done for you to get you to heaven. The invitation is always open, and so it's open this morning. If you're here, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you can do that and walk out of this building knowing for sure that heaven's your home. You never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you never trusted him but you'd like to, all you need to do is just in your own mind, in the stillness of your own mind, trust him the best way you know how and what he's done for you to get you to heaven. God's word says he'll give you eternal life as a free gift. And then the adventure of living for him can be yours. You know, living for him before you've trusted him gains you nothing because you really aren't living for him. But this morning, you can walk out of here knowing that eternal life is yours. You possess that. And then you can begin your life in a real way in serving him in the ways that he gives you opportunity. And I'd count it a privilege to pray for you if this morning you're the best way you know how. You're trusting him and what he's done for you to get you to heaven. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I'm asking to know who you are. Nobody will know but me. I count it a privilege to pray for you in the days and the weeks to come. So if you're here this morning, the best way you know how, you're trusting Christ, would you just slip up your hand and then put it down again? Anybody? Slip it up and put it down. Fine. Father, we come, we thank you so much. But by indication, Father, each one here knows you as their personal Savior. Father, we pray that you would not be ashamed of us as believers in the fact that we're slow to share the gospel with other people. We pray, Father, that we might be faithful in sharing the gospel and explaining your love to those who need to know Christ as their personal Savior. Father, when they do and when we do, we ask your blessings upon them. And Father, as we're thinking about it this morning, as we are so blessed Father, we remember Freddie Coyle and his fight with that old brain tumor. And Father, just the pain that he's been through and the anxiety of his family. We ask that you would just minister health and healing to him, strength. Father, we ask that you'd give him many, many, many more years of service to you. And Father, we pray that you would provide for the Coils. Father, we know that their resources are probably drained. We ask that you'd minister to that also. Care for them, and we'll give you the praise and just thank you so much for it. Father, we thank you for Resurrection Sunday and all that we benefit because of it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.